Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The new and refreshed 2025 Lexus LX 700H is hiding a few secrets below its skin.
Yeah, it's got quite a few, actually.
And Jen, thanks for joining our TFL Talking Trucks podcast. This is your first podcast, right?
It is. Thank you for having me.
Yes, but we're here together on this podcast because you and I were at the first drive event of the new Lexus LX, which is a flagship SUV for Lexus. Mm-hmm. And we were both there. And we're bringing a deep dive.
Very deep.
Into the technology of this truck.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, first of all, we were in Napa Valley. This is where Lexus invited us to.
Yeah, that was gorgeous.
Yes. Even in January, where it's can be a little bit chilly.
A little chilly, but not as bad as here in Colorado.
And the grapes didn't seem to be in bloom or growing.
There were no grapes. at that time.
So, everybody was just like redoing their fields. You know, we saw a lot of people like taking down old mm-hmm. grapevine. I'm not a scientist about grapes.
You're not a rocket surgeon?
No. No, this is not rocket appliances like Case would say. But so we do trucks. We don't do wine.
No, correct. That is very correct.
But it was a good setting for this vehicle because this is a top-of-the-line Lexus. It's quite expensive. It's a vehicle somebody who lives or visits Napa Valley would probably own.
Right. And especially with the Overtrail edition, I think we kind of figured out if you own a vineyard, that's kind of like the perfect truck to have. You know, it's still bougie. It's very luxurious, but, you know, still capable.
Exactly. And Overtrail is kind of the new language that Lexus is using. They've had the GX midsize SUV Overtrail edition and mm-hmm. Overtrail Plus, which is basically kind of a little bit more off-road focused. Mm-hmm. And now they're bringing this trim to their biggest SUV, their flagship, the LX. So that got us excited about
it. Very excited.
And we have a full driving review coming, but just in a few days.
In a couple days.
Yes.
Gotta wait.
Yes. So we have to wait for that. But we had a chance to visit with Eli, who is one of the kind of subject matter experts.
Oh, he was very knowledgeable.
Yes.
Yeah.
On any questions, actually,
yeah,
about the vehicle, about the philosophy of mm-hmm. the vehicle. So we were very fortunate because we spent like 45 minutes together.
Yeah, yeah, we did.
So, and we learned a few secrets about it because at first I thought, okay, they just threw a hybrid system in there, right?
You'd think.
Yeah, and added some tires to it.
Way more than that.
Yeah, so how about this? How about we go to our interview?
Yeah.
And then we can come back from that with some final thoughts.
Hit it.
I have a very special episode of TFL Talking Trucks podcast because we have a brand new vehicle that never existed before, actually.
Yep.
And I have Eli with me.
Yeah, good to meet you.
Hey, can you introduce yourself briefly, please?
Yeah, I'm Eli Nesbitt from the Lexus College. I handle product education for quite a few of our models, including GX and LX.
Yes, so this vehicle here is the new 2025 Lexus LX 700H.
700H, yeah.
That's a big number.
Yep, the biggest we've ever had.
But also, I said, that's never existed before. This is the LX Overtrail.
Yeah.
Which is a specific off-road model.
Yeah, so last year we introduced the GX 550 Overtrail and Overtrail Plus, and it's very popular. We're in love with that vehicle, truly infatuated with it. And this brings that Overtrail name and that sort of package idea to the LX for the very first time. So the LX has always been extremely capable. You know, it's built off of the 300 series Land Cruiser, so it has all of that DNA of being a 300 series Land Cruiser with all the luxury features, but now we're kind of bringing up the capability side of things with this new Overtrail package.
Yeah, and at first, I mean, we're looking at one right now. This is a Nori green.
Yep.
Very, very good looking. And at first, okay, it looks like an LX. It looks very luxurious. Yeah. But then you start to pick out certain elements of it. And the obvious one is the wheel and tire package. So let's start there.
Yeah, wheel and tire package. This is an 18-inch wheel with a 33-inch tire. This is a co-developed tire with Toyo. This is the same tire that was on GX550 Overtrail. Okay. It's extremely capable off-road, but the nice thing is it has that duality nature where it's nice and quiet and it is able to be a really good street tire as well. So that's important for both of those vehicles, but especially on LX where it's, you know, has to be amazing on-road performance as well as really capable off-road. A tire like this that's, you know, specifically designed for this vehicle really helps us to kind of nail it when it comes to that kind of perfect balance of on-road and off-road performance.
Yeah, and Jen is behind the camera, and we just went off-road.
Yeah.
So that's why the tire is a little bit messy.
A little bit dirty, yeah.
But that's what it's about, right? Yeah. It's kind of the ability to do multiple things at the same time, right?
Yeah, Chief Engineer always likes to talk about this idea that this vehicle can not only just go anywhere, but it can bring you back home. So that was kind of a big inspiration, just the idea of, like, how do we make a vehicle that's that reliable and that capable, where it's not only about just going over an obstacle one time, but being able to do it consistently and kind of tackle lots of obstacles in a row, where you can, you know, kind of have an experience that gets you somewhere and gets you back in the same safe vehicle.
Or go on an adventure, right?
Yeah, yeah,
I'm imagining, like, being in Utah, being off-road, kind of in the wilderness, right? And just going long distances.
Yeah. And in style and kind of in comfort too, right? You know, heated and cooled seats, nice soft semi-annealing leather, you have cool box. You're not sacrificing anything from the luxury standpoint, but you're still getting to have a real, honest, authentic adventure. So that's what makes this vehicle very unique.
All right, let's pop the hood because I want to learn more about the 700H, right? Because you have the LX 600, right?
Yes.
And tell me about the history of LX briefly.
Yeah, so LX has been with us. It was our first full-size SUV. So back in the 90s, we actually came out with the LX 450. It was essentially an 80 series Land Cruiser. It had an inline six, 4.5 liter engine. It was 100% bare bones, 80 series Land Cruiser, and you could actually get it as a triple locked vehicle, which is kind of, if you look at the resale market, the triple locked LXs and Land Cruiser 80 series are the ones that kind of pull the most money.
Yeah, they're kind of unicorns, right?
Yeah, they're hard. It was kind of a rare option,
They're hard to find, but they're very desirable, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's one of those things where, like, a really hardcore off-roader, at some point during their build, they're going to end up, you know, throwing an air compressor in there, maybe doing a front air locker. The fact that you can get a triple locked vehicle from factory saves a lot of the headache. And it also allows you to have kind of, like, it's tried and true. It's been engineered for it. So you don't have to have any of that doubt or worry that, like, hey, I'm, you know, installing an aftermarket locker is, you know, it's just from the factory set and ready to go.
It's been tested over, I don't know how many thousands of miles, right?
Yeah, the engineering teams beat the crap out of these things in Australia and in the Middle East especially. They do a lot of desert, high-intensity, high-temperature testing. So when an LX or a Land Cruiser 300 comes off the line, it has been tested to ad nauseum. It's insane what levels of testing they put these things through.
Now, the 700H, the H is for hybrid, right?
Yeah.
So this is kind of a newer powertrain for this vehicle.
Yeah, newer powertrain for this vehicle. It's related to the powertrain that's in Tundra and Sequoia. Uh-huh. So, you know, TRD Pro has had the kind of the iForce Max for a couple of years now. We've never had it on the Lexus side. And this actually isn't a direct drag and drop from those vehicles into this. What the engineers actually did was they said, we want to make a powertrain that's specifically for, you know, that's deserving of an LX. So they didn't want to just force a powertrain in there for no reason. So that actually ended up causing them to re-engineer quite a few things. One of them is they engineered an entire mechanical fail-safe. So what I mean by that is there's actually an alternator and a starter on this vehicle. Never before have we had an alternator and a starter on a hybrid vehicle at Toyota or Lexus. And
yeah, because kind of the hybrid system is kind of supposed to take care of that,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. The hybrid inverter is usually doing the alternating job, and then traditionally MG1, that first motor in the two-motor system, or in these vehicles, the motor that's inside the bell housing, is doing that starter function. So in this vehicle, it's the same, right? The inverter and that motor are doing those functions as alternator and starter. But in the worst case scenario that something were to happen on a trail, they designed a mechanical failsafe where essentially then it drops down into being just an LX 600. So it can run with a starter, it can run with an alternator. It has, you know, less power because it doesn't have that hybrid component anymore. But you're going to have, you know, the capability and the dependability to get off that trail. That's the whole thing of, like, not only just going to a trail, but coming back home from it and designing an entire failsafe system like that. It also has a small reserve battery. There's something called the KO clutch that's inside that bell housing. So that's
because it's the engine, right?
Yep.
It's the V6. Yep. Then there is the electric motor.
Yep.
Sandwich,
instead of a
basically.
Torque converter.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then it's the transmission, the automatic transmission. So there's a device called the KO clutch that allows that to kind of separate or have a power pass through to the transmission.
Okay.
So since that's a hybrid component, we have actually a reserve battery to disengage that. So you essentially just drive engine straight to transmission because it's getting power to that KO clutch to disengage. So it's a really interesting way for us to kind of take that powertrain that's on the Tundra and the Sequoia, but bulletproof it for the adventure that's going to take this hopefully to the end of the world.
And back.
And back, yeah. That, and back, right? The important part, coming back from the end of the world.
Yeah. And also you're having more power than some of the other engines you described,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. So it's 457 horsepower, 583 foot-pounds of torque. So the most power and torque that we've ever had in an LX. Huge amount of power, which is super helpful for tackling obstacles and just for, you know, having an engaging drive, especially the torque off-road and on-road. You're just going to feel that all the time. You are going to have about, I think it's about 20 horsepower more in this vehicle as a rating than on the Tundra Sequoia. Mm-hmm. A lot of that has to do with octane rating. So this vehicle is rated for premium fuel. The power numbers that are for the Tundra and Sequoia are for regular. So a large boost of that is just from, you know, the octane
changing. And the tuning related.
Yeah, the tuning related to that.
Well, it kind of makes sense. I mean, this is a premium vehicle and also a turbocharged engine. They usually like premium fuel anyways.
They definitely do, yeah.
And also, like, we are at TFL, we're from higher elevations in Colorado, right? Yeah. And pulling a trailer, we'll talk about towing in a second.
Yeah.
But pulling a trailer or heavy loaded, you kind of want maximum performance out of your
power. Or else you're going to end up with knock, right? You're going to run too lean, especially in high elevation. You're going to have to be
or high temperatures,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. So all of that helps. And, you know, these modern vehicles with all of their, you know, the fuel sensors, they're able to kind of change air fuel ratio, even with a lower octane, you know. But for those power ratings that we are certifying, that's going to be for premium only, which is why you see that larger number.
Nice. Yep. So 457 horsepower is more than many other vehicles, you know, similar to this in their class.
Absolutely.
So that's pretty impressive.
The 583 foot-pounds of torque, you feel instantaneously. That gives you a lot of punch off the line. And a great amount of that is, you know, in part from that electric motor that's helping out. And the cool thing is, even though the total horsepower number doesn't change, when you change the drive modes, like if you go from Eco to Sport, you feel a massive jump in kind of acceleration feel when you go to Sport mode.
How it reacts, basically.
How it reacts, yeah. And what that's doing is it's just tuning when the EV motor between that engine transmission kicks in. So in Sport mode, the ramp is way more steep. So you're immediately getting, you're immediately getting a ton of power. And so I highly recommend you know, give it a shot in Sport mode, or just, you know, play with the different drive modes, normal, Eco. Go to Sport, you'll immediately feel it jumps off the line.
Yeah, Jen was driving, we were just driving back and forth from the off-road location.
Yeah.
And Jen insisted on Sport Plus.
It's gotta be fun, you know? Tighter steering, tighter suspension, and more power, yeah. It's definitely fun, yeah.
So before we go inside and look at some of those modes and some of the features on the inside, we have to talk about suspension because it's quite interesting and and it's sometimes hard to understand, like for somebody like me. Let's go towards the back maybe and see, tell me a little bit more about the suspension system.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
Yeah, so the suspension on this vehicle is not completely new to LX. So this has what we call AHC, so active height control. Mm-hmm. And it's not an air spring. It's actually a hydraulic mechanism. So it has hydraulic fluid that's going through lines.
Yeah, you could see right there.
Exactly, that's through that fitting.
Right
there. Yeah. So what it does is it actually forces hydraulic fluid into the body of the shock. There's a chamber there. And when we force hydraulic fluid there, it physically stretches the shock. So instead of having an air spring and the spring itself is compressing, we're forcing hydraulic fluid into that chamber, and it's physically stretching or decreasing the size of that chamber. So then you get the same height control change without having a wearable item like an air spring. So an air spring on a long off-road journey, it could pop. It they're very durable today, but it's still a likelihood. So this has a traditional metal coil spring,
yeah,
and then it has that hydraulic cylinder. And we've had AHC, which is hydraulic-based height control, on LXs for about a decade or a little bit more. This is the fastest version we've had yet, and it also has the most change in range. So this can go from less than one, so it can go positive or negative. When you're going 60 miles an hour or above in four high, transfer cases in four high.
Which is the full-time
Yeah, full-time four-wheel drive. Yes, full-time mechanical four-wheel drive. So it's always spinning all four wheels. You can lock it up, you know, center lock differential. You can do that in four high or four low. We'll get into differentials later. But in four high, 60 miles an hour and above, it's going to drop the vehicle about an inch and a quarter. That's just for aerodynamics, get you a little bit better, you know, closer to the ground, a little bit better contact patch on cornering. But then it's really interesting how it sits up into its high position. So in there's technically four settings. In four high, the overtrails will immediately go to high two. So when you're driving around, because it's an off-road look of a vehicle, it'll go up to high two, which is about an inch and a half up.
I think right now it's not, maybe. Should we start it up?
Yeah, maybe, yes, maybe start it up. Yeah.
Hold on a second. Do you want to jump in the driver's seat? The key is in there.
Okay, let's go ahead and do that.
Let's see, if you start it up and then maybe I can lower this glass.
Yeah, so there we go. Yeah, so the controls for active height control are right here in the center console.
Come over, let's just show that. You can close your door.
Okay. Yeah, so the controls for active height control are gonna be found right here. So you'll see kind of an outline of a vehicle going up or going down. So if we go ahead and just press down, immediately we can feel
it. Oh, I felt that, yes.
Yeah, it kind of had that immediate dip. That's what you're gonna, that's the same level of dip that you don't realize you're experiencing when you're on like the highway. At highway speeds, it's dipping down there for, you know, aerodynamic purposes. But then immediately if we go up, you can see here, now we're in high one, or I can push it into high two, and you're gonna start to see the vehicle kind of go up, down, and it's lifting us up immediately.
Yeah, and Jen, maybe you can go outside for a second as well.
Yeah.
Let's let it go up and then we'll bring it down
again. Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe you could also select four low, low range.
Yeah, we can do that too. This will be high two, so it's still raising up.
And this is high four-wheel drive high range.
Yeah, this is high range, so okay. You know, H4, high two setting. And then if we go ahead, go ahead and put this in neutral, swap this over to low, back into park.
I can already see the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So once you go into drive, high two will then lift you up even more. So this will be the low four, high two range.
Now, so that matters for like approach angle, breakover angle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Departure angle.
Yeah, all of your, you know, just the ability to go. This is about 4 inches taller than factory ride height. There is about another half inch that you can't access through a button. But if you're in crawl control, so, you know, low four, you have to be in low four to use crawl control. Downhill assist is high four. So crawl control is low four only. When you're in low four and using crawl control, if the vehicle senses that it's not getting over an obstacle as it desires to, it will actually has about between a half inch to three quarter of an inch additional lift that it can actually go up even further. But once again, that's only during crawl control.
Yeah, just kind of bump
itself. It's like a ramp
over,
kind of a rescue mode, right? It's just giving you that extra little bit that you need. But I mean, to see a luxury vehicle that's this high up off the ground and then immediately, you know, if we were to go back down to low, which I'll do right now.
There it is, it's lowering itself.
And then we'll go all the way down to low. So it's extremely quick. It's hydraulic, but it is much, much faster, about 2.5 times faster than the previous system on like LX570.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm looking down on you
now. You're looking down at me, yeah. So that's, we went from, you know, essentially plus 4 inches to negative 1 inches in a matter of seconds. And that was just by going back to high four in the transfer case and pressing the low setting. And it just sent us straight down.
It is quite a dramatic difference, and it does it pretty quickly.
And it's for a reason. It's not just aesthetics, right? It's like, you know, for either aerodynamics at speed or for truly giving you a significant amount more ground clearance off-road.
And for example, if somebody, you know, cannot... maybe doesn't want to climb into a vehicle,
exactly.
Right? This is very easy. I can just really easily kind of slide in and enter.
Yeah, there's actually a mode where you can turn it on where it will just dip down. Maybe you're a solo driver. It'll actually kind of just right here actually is our button. So if we turn this on, when I get out of the vehicle or get into the vehicle, it'll dip down that corner just so I have an easier ingress or egress.
Okay.
especially for, you know, people who, you know, don't want to be jumping into a vehicle or, you know, jumping over the seats, having that mode turned on with just a button press will allow us to just dip down the corners of the doors that get opened.
So it's kind of very smart. It's adjusting to a lot of things.
Yeah, it's pushing hydraulic fluid to the four corners by using, you know, it's got the four shocks that it can adjust. So it's able to do corner by corner, you know, changes like that.
I gotcha. Jen, maybe you can get in here and then we can go over some of the other features really quick. I'll be in the back.
Yeah, for sure.
And then we'll talk about some of the other capabilities.
Yeah.
So a couple other things. So can you mention, just go over the buttons again? There's drive modes and MTS.
Yeah. So there's three kind of sets of buttons here. So MTS is multi-terrain select. So as we do, all of it's going to be changed with this mode select knob. So whenever you highlight any of these, your adjustment is going to be done through this knob. So it's one knob, three sets of buttons. So for MTS, you'll see we have auto, dirt, sand, mud, deep snow, and then in low four we have additional ones like rock, and so there's different modes, and that's going to be mainly you can also see the changes
in the cluster.
So this is the new 12.3 full digital dash, so you get some pretty cool imagery that kind of just makes it more experiential. So there's different modes, there's four more modes in low four, and then there's five total modes in high four. One of them on either side includes auto mode, which is a great way. So if you ever just like don't know what surface you're on, or maybe that surface is changing, you're on something that has slick rock, dirt, pebbles, whatever it might be, as long as you click MTS and set it to auto, it will be looking to change all of those aspects. And that could be from kind of throttle response to how it turns on VSC or traction control. Some of the MTS modes immediately turn VSC off. Some of them keep it on, depending on, you know, how slippery that surface could be. So it's interesting how it can kind of fine tune that. And then worst case scenario, if you ever just put it in auto, it will be using all of the data and slip that it's kind of receiving to figure out, how do I prevent that from happening? And so that's, you're never going to go wrong by just pressing auto, because it will put it into one of those modes or a combination of them as you go through the trail.
Makes sense.
Then you have drive mode. This is kind of pretty traditional here. So you have, you know, drive mode, we have sport, sport S, sport plus. And so you felt like when we went into sport, we dropped down.
Immediately, I felt that.
Yeah. So it's tying in all these different systems. So it's not just throttle control or anything else. It's using all the systems, you know, AHC, ABS. What we can't see is, you know, there's 650 different dampening settings within the shocks. And that's being done by the AVS, or adaptive variable suspension system. When we're choosing any MTS mode or any drive mode, it's behind the scenes changing and choosing the right dampening for that situation. Mm-hmm. So while it also lowered us when we went into Sport Plus, it also would have been selecting, you know, the right amount of dampening in those shocks. Then we, you know, so we have Sport, Sport Plus, Normal, Comfort, and Eco. Those are just obviously softer settings, and mainly those change, you know, Comfort and Eco have lighter pedal inputs, so you can kind of floor it a little bit more, and it'll be a little bit more lackadaisical. You're not, you know, punching it and throwing your head down. So definitely can be comfortable for a longer drive. And then my favorite one is DAC and Crawl. So DAC is downhill assist control.
Okay.
DAC and Crawl use the same systems for control, but DAC, downhill assist control, that feature is for high four only. And then when you press that same button in low four, it's going to be just for low four. DAC and Crawl are both, the whole point of them is to set speed ranges. So it allows the driver to feel very in control.
Sorry. Kind of smoothness. So you're rolling, it's basically off-road cruise control, so to speak.
It's exactly what it is. It's off-road cruise control. So you can actually see here, so there's two different layouts that we're going to be able to see. You can see right here, there's DAC settings. This doesn't have as much information, but in the cluster here, as I change this, you see that DAC, DAC.
There's a lot more granular control. Yeah,
so you get more granular, and it's between a set range of 2 and 18 miles an hour.
Okay.
So that's their speed range for downhill assist for, once again, you're in 4 high, so you're not as on a, you know, as crazy of a trail. So that speed range is going to be from 2 to 18.
Okay.
Now what we're going to do is we're going to just hold that shifter over to neutral, drop it into low 4. And now when we go back into drive, if we were to press this button again, we're going to be in crawl control. Now instead of 2 to 18, you're going to see crawl control low to high.
Okay.
This is going to be between right around a half or three quarter of a mile an hour to about 3 miles an hour, maybe a little bit more. So this is going to give you, when you talk about like granularity, these changes are like in the half mile an hour range difference versus, you know, before it was like from 2 to 18.
Yeah.
So that's an important distinction, right? So in four high, DAC gives you between 2 and 18 miles an hour of set control. And that's like, you can have your feet off the pedals and it will not go past your set speed. So what the beauty of that is, it allows you to fully focus on the trail and just steer. So it increases your experience by freeing up mind space. So if you are focusing on all these different things, maybe you're, you know, newer to the off-roading scene and you're in something really hairy, it could be a lot to take in. So by using essentially, like you said, off-road cruise control, it allows you to just take one thing off the table. You can touch the brakes or the gas at any point during these systems mm-hmm. and take back control. It doesn't replace you as the driver. It just allows you to kind of take a break and have off-road cruise control, quote unquote. And then you can immediately touch the brakes, touch the gas. And unless if you mash the brakes, you can actually come in and out of the system. And if you come off the brakes, it'll still be there. So you'll disengage. If you floor it to the floor, you'll disengage them.
Yeah. And
which you
stop,
would want,
basically.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you can, if you, you know, get nervous and you tap the brakes a little bit and come back to gas or whatever, the system will still be on and then it'll kick back in.
And I like, right now it's showing the camera system as well. So you have that.
Yeah. Yeah, this is called MTM or multi-terrain monitor. So, you know, in this parking lot, it's not all that interesting, but on a trail, this is great because you can see, you know, both sides of the vehicle. You can actually change your views. You can do kind of a pass-through mode. So this is specific to MTM. And if we were to, let's just drive forward a little bit, and then we will drive backwards a little bit.
It kind of remembers so, what's below.
So
you,
what it's
right?
doing is it's taking a bunch of images and it's overlaying them live. So when what it's going to be able to do is, say this, we had a bunch of different rocks underneath us. We can use this pass-through mode. And it can actually remind us, oh, there was that big boulder there in the
or
center by our left
down
rear tire.
Tree or something.
Branch, like whatever it yeah, is, right? Yeah. So it, when MTM is active, it's constantly taking images and then it's digitally overlaying them. So this isn't live, obviously, because we can't look through our vehicle, but this is like about 100 small, thin images that it took. So it can kind of remember the path you took forward or backward.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So super helpful, especially if you're on a trail without a spotter. Mm-hmm. You can kind of be your own spotter using a system like this.
And also, I mean, if you're parking, parallel parking, you can yeah. see where the curb is or yeah. whatnot.
Yeah, so if we were to be, like, so what we'll do here is we'll just go back to neutral and we'll go back to high four. So the system then it would be using is called Panoramic View Monitor. It's okay. the same system. It uses the same cameras, just the data looks different. Like the physical image looks a little bit okay. different when we do. So this is what we would call Panoramic View Monitor, where it's still showing us 360 degrees and see how it's building the image right here.
Uh-huh, I see it.
So let's go ahead and pull forward and we'll have it complete our set image. So see that black box of where it quote unquote doesn't know. Now this is a digital overlay of what it remembers that to be. And this is, you know, it's remembering exactly where we're
and
at.
There's also the shadow of
the shadow. That yeah. shadow is real. Yeah, that's yeah. being overlaid. But this is called Panoramic View Monitor, which is, you know, 360 degree yeah. view. But when we're in any of our off-road modes, you know, crawl control, MTS, whatever, it will become a multi-terrain monitor and it gives you those, you know, side view or whatever.
Slightly different view.
So it uses the yeah. same cameras, just overlays them in a different way that's potentially more helpful. It tries to kind of give you the best view for what you're actually doing. And of course you can press settings and customize if you want bars or no bars, if you want that red line or anything, all of that can be changed on the fly.
Now I see those two buttons by your right knee.
Yes, my favorite button.
We alluded to triple lockers, but yeah. those are the rear and front lockers.
Those are the rear and front lockers. So all LXs have a center locker, which is found here in this strip. So center lock differential. That's because it's a mechanical four-wheel drive vehicle, full-time four-wheel drive. So every LX has this. But new for this year, for the 25 model year, is a very exciting change where we have the front and rear lockers added. So in the 90s, the 80 series Land Cruiser or LX450, mm-hmm. a triple locked model is the one to get. Now it wasn't a very popular option and it's kind of one of those things where there's not a large part of the population that needs triple lockers
yeah.
ever or often, right? But it's cool to have it. And it's one of those things where if you're really taking this thing and putting it through the paces on really tough trails, it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it, right? And so having it be a triple locked vehicle makes it about as capable as it can come from the factory. but you're not sacrificing any of the safety systems, any of the electronic assistance. You get all of that, or you can do mechanical lockers. So
and you can kind of go old-fashioned, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you talked about all the electrical assist, all the computer systems, but you could just lock it up and drive yourself, right?
Exactly. And that's where, like, for me, I've been off-roading quite a while. I really love the activity of off-roading. Most of my vehicles haven't had any of this. You know, mainly older trucks, older Toyota products, but I've had physical lockers. And so for me, having physical lockers gives me like a peace of mind where it's like, oh, I know how this is supposed to feel. And the cool thing is you can kind of grow as an off-roader with this vehicle, where maybe at the start you're using a lot of DAC, crawl, MTS. And then as you get more, you know, kind of used to using the pedals yourself, handling slip yourself, then you can start to play around with adding in lockers and being kind of your own MTS or crawl control, mm-hmm. where you really understand what the vehicle's doing. And the fact that this vehicle has that and you don't have to option into it, it's just the Overtrail has triple lockers, is going to be really cool. And it's just cool to be able to say that we have a triple locked LX again, because we see them on Bring a Trailer, we see them all over the internet. The triple locked ones are always, always the most expensive.
And they're bringing the money, yeah.
They're bringing the money. The resale value is there. And the fact that now we can get a brand new one and you're still getting crawl control and all the other things, it's pretty remarkable.
All right. Let's talk about comfort a little bit more.
Okay.
So there's something called Climate Concierge, which I thought was a clever name.
Yeah, so Climate Concierge is a system that we've had for quite a few years, but, you know, we're always trying to Kaizen or improve them, right? What Climate Concierge does is it actually takes occupancy. So, you know, say you only have three people in the vehicle. It tries to isolate those three seats and only focus the air conditioning.
Like
there.
I'm in the middle in the back,
right.
And you guys are in the front.
Yeah. Right, or if you were in the left seat or the right seat, it would try to isolate, oh, these people only need need the maximum air conditioning. And so, you know, it would do something like if it was just us two in the front and you weren't in the back, we wouldn't have to turn off rear air conditioning from our last trip. It would just automatically know nobody's in the back, we can shut that off. And so it's just a nice way to do that. And it's also going to, you don't have to, you know, set it to any certain setting. Say you like it to be 71. No matter if it's 100 degrees outside or 40 degrees outside, it's going to not only turn on the air conditioner, because that's just auto, right? It also is going to immediately, see how all of these went into auto? So we have heated and cooled seats, and we have a heated steering wheel. When we went to Climate Concierge, all of those went immediately to auto, because it's tying in all of those systems too. So it's looking to make me as comfortable as possible, or you, or anybody, the occupant. So instead of just being able to automatically set it to 72 and it does that every single time, it's saying the driver or passenger will feel more at ease if we also do seat cooler at this time. Or let's turn off the heated steering wheel because it's 80 degrees outside. We don't need that. So I don't have to ever press these buttons. I can just set, I want to feel comfortable at 72, and it'll do anything in its power to make that happen.
Nice. And there's also massage, right, for the front seats?
Yeah, there is massage. And so we can go into...
I also found it in the upper screen too.
I was about to say, this is actually where it's found in these vehicles. So vehicle, we're going to seat controls, we're gonna go to massage, and then we can turn on either of these seats. And it's actually kind of interesting. So we've had massage seats in our vehicles. You know, GX has it in the front seats. LX600 had it in the ultra luxury in the back. LS has had it for quite a few years. But this is an improved version. So there's these little air bladders inside of the seat. Mm-hmm. And they used to be kind of rectangle shaped. You can kind of imagine it like kind of like a Cheez-It, and it would kind of inflate like that. The problem is when it has a square, it doesn't actually have what they called like a finger point of pressure. And so this new system,
so it feels light.
It kind of feels like a soft push, right? Yeah, it doesn't actually ever have like an actual like finger point of pressure. So the new the new massage bladders are actually kind of star shaped. So if you imagine like a soft edge star, when you inflate it, the center actually has like a pressure point because it has five points versus four.
I gotcha.
And so you'll actually feel it's very immediate for one thing, but also the pressure, even in lower intensity, is more acute. So you really do feel it. It just gives you a better massage, and it's kind of a fun thing to think of. There's, you know, inside this seat, there's a bunch of these little star-shaped air bladders that are inflating and deflating. So kind of a fun little detail.
And the ultra luxury has that in the back?
Yeah, it also has that in the right rear passenger.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and what, you know, on the ultra luxury, the driver gets that, and then the right rear passenger, but the front passenger doesn't, because this is actually an ottoman in the ultra luxury, so it folds all the way forward, and the back of this seat back becomes a foot ottoman for the right rear passenger. We have one here. I think it's out on the road right now, but we'll find it by the end of the day. But to be able to show the kind of seat function on ultra luxury is pretty cool. especially if you get the lucky chance of being the right rear passenger and you get to actually put your feet up, kind of fun.
And at that point, it's kind of a chauffeur vehicle.
Yeah, that's kind of like the lap of luxury. You're kind of like, you're getting driven at that point. But I will say I've taken meetings from the backseat of an ultra luxury with my feet up, and that's pretty sweet. So I've been able to take meetings back in there, and that's a pretty fun experience. But I've never been driven in the backseat. Okay. So.
I want to walk around outside.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'll meet you on the driver's side right there.
Let's do it.
I wanted to show something over here that you've added, which is we do a lot of trailer testing, towing testing in Colorado. And I see right there, Jen, there's a trailer brake controller.
Yes, standard trailer brake controller.
In all LXs now or all LX 700s?
So it's going to be in all LXs. The max tow rating on LX 700H is 8,000 pounds.
Okay.
So up to 8,000 pounds is the max tow rating. Trailer brake controller is the same physical trailer brake controller as the GX 550. So if you've used that one, it's the same exact. Yeah. So if you know one, you know this one. But it's just great
to
have
it. By your left knee, kind of.
Yeah, by your left knee on this one, which is a different position than in GX. GX is over there by the right. But you have the lockers on the right-hand side in this vehicle, and now you have trailer brake controller. But I mean, it's a great added benefit to somebody who's really using like this for everything, whether that be their off-road rig, their everyday driver, and if they need to tow something, a camper, a small boat. 8,000 pounds is to the point where you actually want trailer brakes on there,
Well definitely.
Yeah,
over anything. 3,000 pounds,
I mean,
really,
honestly, you want it all the time. But it's definitely, if you're pushing it to using all 8,000, you're 100% wanting trailer brake control.
So there's Toyota and Lexus have been doing this where the wheelbase on most of their off-road SUVs is the same, right?
Yes.
So it's like 2,850 millimeters or 112 inches.
Yeah.
Has there ever been talk? Have you heard of them extending it or making it like a very much larger vehicle?
Yeah, so this really goes back to, it's something called, internally we call it the golden ratio. And it's something that started it's about 30 years old on Land Cruiser. Okay. And it's like from the 80 series, the Land Cruiser dimensions has been the same.
Yeah.
And the golden ratio is, it's not just one spec of wheelbase. It's how are we able to build a vehicle of this size with the right proportions, for approach, departure, crossover, all of that's taken into account. And what they've found is like the best all around feel. So when we're talking about,
including driving,
on road, driving off road, the best way for it to feel like a fully, like a holistic vehicle, not just because we could make it whatever to improve one single category.
Yeah.
But when we're looking at holistically, how do we make the best feeling vehicle in all situations, which oftentimes includes heavy off-roading, that golden ratio doesn't need to change. So it's kind of been the same. So the answer is no. There hasn't been talk of increasing the wheelbase of LX, which means that the third row is never going to be the largest because the vehicle is physically smaller than something like a Sequoia. The Sequoia is a little bit longer of a wheelbase. Definitely has a little, it's very capable. TRD Pro Sequoia is a very capable off-road machine. But the point of this vehicle is to be built off the golden ratio because this is 1-to-1 300 series Land Cruiser. It's built in the same line as the 300 series Land Cruiser. They come off the same line together. It's
and
our market's 300.
Japan,
they're
right?
built 100% in Japan. Yeah. And so the 300 series Land Cruiser and the LX are built 1-to-1. They're platform partners. And so for that, we wanted to just have it be that perfect golden ratio. It gives you kind of the best of both worlds for an on-road and off-road performance vehicle. And it's kind of something that, LX and Land Cruiser have fanboys or, just big fans, right? And it's one of those things is like, they like the vehicles because they drive like
that.
A Land Cruiser or an LX. And it's like, we don't need to change that DNA. We can just improve and Kaizen those elements around it.
Gotcha. Yeah. So we just popped the rear hatch here. So I wanted to show a couple things. First of all, this is a 5-person config.
Yes.
So
this is our 2-row.
This is a 2-row. But you could add, we can show also a 3-row version.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a 3-row or a 2-row overtrail, which is unique. GX is only a 2-row overtrail.
Yes.
So LX allows you to get the overtrail package in both 2 and 3-row, which is unique for this one.
And this is kind of like my gear backpack.
Yep.
It's for size, so you can kind of see what it looks like. There's a little tunnel cover, cargo cover.
And that's easily removable.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I noticed this. This is really cool.
Yeah, this
2.4 kilowatt.
Yeah, so this is our 2400-watt inverter. So it takes a standard kind of 3-prong cord.
Yeah.
This is nice because 2400 watts, you can run anything from a nice fridge for off-road adventures to just about any appliance for cooking you need, even an air fryer, a small microwave. You can do that all off-road. Or my personal favorite, I like to run with an actual like full-size donut compressor.
Okay.
So I can run a compressor off of that just in case if something
air up,
goes
air
wrong.
Down,
air up, air down, or run air tools if we need to for actual trail repairs. So 2400 watts, This is the highest we've had on an LX before, and that's because we now have that high voltage battery because it's a hybrid. So on the LX600, we're not able to do a 2400 watt inverter because it doesn't have the power supply of that hybrid battery to draw from. But we're able to power a lot more interior accessories or tools or cooking equipment, whatever you need it to do. You can even run kind of a fun thing to do if you have like a Fire Stick or Apple TV, you can kind of run a screen in the back and kind of watch the game or kind of just watch whatever you want, stream movies
straight from. You can power like a Starlink antenna or something.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah. So it just kind of gives you a lot of options for what you want to use the vehicle for and what you can do off grid. I also want to just call out, this is intentionally made perfectly flat and as square as possible to kind of maximize its usability. So, you know, without the rear seats here, it's very kind of 90 degrees, very flat, very squared off. That makes it very easy if you're trying to do some form of, you know, a deck system, a drawer system, you know, or just putting boxes or equipment in here. If it had a lot of curves and kind of changes in there, it would be very difficult. The only curves are kind of for that ingress and egress there by the second row. But you get a very large, usable kind of 90 degree based space. And that allows you to just put whatever you kind of need in here.
Well, I've noticed, I've gone to many Overland shows, yep. Overland Expos, for example, yep. And it seems like over the last 5 years or so, I'm just kind of speaking off the top of my head, I've seen Lexus presence, you know, in several of those shows. And it seems like Lexus is incorporating more and more, like for example, skid plating on this vehicle is there. Accessories, availability of accessories. Yeah. It seems like Lexus is listening to a lot of the feedback from the community.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because like the enthusiast community embraced GX and LX because they were already inherently good at off-roading, right? But we weren't coming out and building off-road packages from factory. We were building an extremely capable, durable off-road vehicle that they were then modifying to kind of fit their needs. And this has been a long study. We've been studying this vehicle. I've been studying kind of the off-road Lexus space internally since about 2018. And by going to enthusiast shows, meeting with, you know, owners, going camping with them, kind of interviewing them and kind of doing research on, you know, what do you use the vehicle for? What do you love about these vehicles? What can we do? And so now with GX Overtrail, LX Overtrail, we're taking the core vehicle, which we've always engineered to be an amazing off-road vehicle, super capable, super durable. And now all we're doing is just putting some of that kind of accessories or packaging on from factory and providing a better starting point where it's kind of already 3/4 of the way there. And if an enthusiast wants to push it and do a full complete build out, it's kind of already there. Yeah. They don't have to start from, you know, ground zero. They're already there with, you know, 33-inch tires, which used to be a really big deal. Now they're coming factory, adjustable suspension, triple lockers, you know, the ability to run power. You don't have to do like a solar panel system to be able to run a fridge. You can run it straight from the car. Things like that just allow the user to immediately just get the car and go and use it versus having to buy the car and then build it for 3 or 4 months and then be able to go and have their first adventure with it.
Yeah. Have you considered, because if we look at the bumpers, the bumpers are the same as like some of the other trim levels.
Yes.
Let's look over here.
Yeah.
Do you know if Lexus considered like a modified bumper, a steel bumper maybe, or like a winch capable bumper or some other elements? Like you could see some of the other LXs across the parking lot here.
Yeah, so I think definitely all of those things are, in consideration. Winch capable bumpers especially are something that, you know, we're all kind of keeping in mind.
Because I've seen them being modded aftermarket.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah. And so, you know, people will always do that, and that's up to them and their choice to do that. What we're trying to do is just make them, build the strongest base vehicle that we can. One of the things about steel bumpers, and it's not true for every region, but these vehicles are sold globally. So we can't just hyperfixate on one country's or one region's
regulations,
right? So to make a vehicle that can truly be sold globally, like the LX, it's really hard to make a steel bumper that 100% will check the box for everything. And so that's why we focus more on just, let's make the best core vehicle. And the people that need an off-road bumper, like a steel bumper, they're gonna do it regardless. They've proven that over the past 40 years. If they need an off-road steel bumper with a winch and everything else, they're gonna fit it to it no matter what. And so for us, I think it would be very cool to have a winch capable bumper. And of course, anything's under consideration, but our primary concern is making the best core vehicle and making it very easy to accommodate the needs of people once they get to that point.
Sweet. I just wanted to look at the hitch really quick.
Since, let's do it.
Since we opened it up here in the back. And I've noticed this on several new vehicles. For example, the new Tacoma.
Yep.
Then the Land Cruiser 250.
Yep.
Maybe GX. Does GX have the same similar design
of the
hitch?
Yeah. So all of these vehicles that you're describing are what we call TNGA-F. which is Global Architecture F. So yes. The F vehicles are all, the frames are related. Now there's, this is, this and the Land Cruiser 300, you know, Sequoia, Tundra, there's different duty levels of the F platform.
Okay.
So, you know, the highest duty level would be like 300 series and Tundra, LX, Sequoia. And then on the F platform is, you know, the lower tier level or like the mid duty cycle is, you know, GX, Land Cruiser, Forerunner, Tacoma. We don't have a light duty on F platform because it's already a kind of a heavy duty platform. Okay. But there's definitely a heavier side and a medium duty side of the F platform vehicles. And all of them incorporate an integrated frame, integrated towing hitch into the frame. So it's, you know, from factory welded into the frame. And you're essentially, instead of pulling from a hitch, you're pulling from a frame section. And so they're extremely heavy duty. It's one of the reasons that we're starting to have higher and higher towing out, towing capacities, and where we feel that that's very safe and that we've engineered it to do that. So it's a very heavy duty hitch, very thick walled.
But I noticed it's double wall.
It is double walled. Is just an element that we've incorporated.
So you can kind of see it right here on the side.
Yeah, so you can actually kind of feel the hitch is on the inside. You can put your fingers through there. But it's actually going to be a double-walled, like thicker hitch. And that's just in to kind of increase the durability. So when you have something that's really pulling on here, and you still have, you know, these strips to be able to do anything weight distributing.
For the chains.
The chains. So it kind of offers you everything. But it is, you know, we do provide an extra long pin, and that allows you to kind of get past this double walled section.
And actually, yeah, extra long pin is also works for like heavy duty pickup trucks.
Exactly, yeah.
So if you have like a 2500 or something like that,
yeah,
that's I've noticed that as well.
Yeah, once you get into that class of towing, most of those, you know, hitch pins are
big
long
components.
Anyway.
Yeah,
and
big
so
components.
It's one of those things where, like, because it's, you know, 8,000 pounds, it's already on a heavy duty frame chassis, it just makes sense to use kind of like the heavier duty hitch pins, but, you know, the standard size ones, you know, can be a little bit too short.
I have a couple of complaints.
Yep, let's hear it.
First,
we love feedback.
The 7-pin connector,
yes,
for the trailer wiring is down behind the bumper, but it's still like, I would like it somewhere higher. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because you do have to kind of get on one knee, mm-hmm, or something like that. So that's one element that I was noticing.
Yeah,
you could see it right here. Also, some people commented online.
Yep,
they thought this has no tow points in the front, mm-hmm, but they're actually underneath.
They are, yeah.
So you can kind of see it, for example, here.
Yeah.
For example, right here.
Yeah. And that's, we've had that on other vehicles too. The whole point of those tow points is to be connected close to the center of gravity and directly to the frame.
Okay.
So, I mean, if we had like a secondary support way out into the wings of the front bumper, you're pulling on the front bumper, you're not pulling on the frame. And if your vehicle is truly stuck, for one, you want to be as low as possible because you're trying to pull from the bottom of the center of gravity, okay, where the vehicle's stuck, and you want a direct pull to the frame of the vehicle. So that is just structurally the best place to pull, okay, from. And so you might have to crawl under there and hook up, you know, a little bit, get a little bit dirty. But for a physics standpoint,
but this,
that's a better place to be pulling from than something that's, you know.
I gotcha. Yeah. It's part of the deal, right?
Yeah.
If you're actually going that deep.
Yeah, exactly.
Into,
yeah,
something.
Yeah, and if you have a steel bumper, right, and your steel bumper has attachment points here, you're still pulling from the frame because the steel bumper is connected
attached
directly
to the frame,
right?
Yeah.
So
this
is
not the case,
you know,
here.
This grill is not attached to the frame. So
no,
definitely,
please don't pull on this.
Do not pull from that, right? So that's kind of the difference is, like, yes, for a factory option, for you to be able to still have those tow points, it is going to be a little bit further underneath the vehicle, but it's doing the exact same thing, which is pulling straight from the frame.
Okay. And let's finish up on this side. There's a lot of people filming. There's, yeah, like red lines. There's Sofian right there,
yeah,
behind us.
It's a busy day out here, yeah.
I wanted to mention price really quick.
Yes.
And are these available immediately now?
They are.
Are they orderable right now?
Yeah, they are. They're starting to, the 600, the 25 model year 600, did hit showroom floors maybe 2 weeks ago, and the 700Hs are just about to arrive.
Okay, gotcha. Where about the 700Hs? How does the pricing start?
So it's going to be a little bit higher. I believe top of the line goes to around like 125. I'd have to double check with Richard.
I noticed about 115 for the Overtrail to start.
Yeah, to start.
And we talked about like the ultra luxury versions.
Yeah.
They can be what, 140 or 135,000.
Yeah, maybe 135 starting for the ultra luxury. So,
but you know what I liked? I liked that you guys, the Overtrail 700H, it's not available. The Overtrail is not available in a 600, correct?
No, not in our market,
right.
No.
But I like the fact that the Overtrail was the lower price.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like
it's not
somewhere
the
above
the top tier line.
It's not like somewhere above ultra luxury. It was actually the lower part of the pricing.
Yeah, I mean, it's in that usable range, right? It's somebody who's really trying to use the vehicle. It looks awesome, so even if you don't use the vehicle for its purpose, it's still going to look amazing. But the fact that it's not it's not topping the chain.
Yeah.
It allows it to be kind of in a usable range for somebody who's in the market for one of these. It's a lot of money, but it's a lot of car and it's a lot of capability. So it kind of it meets the expectation when you're paying for that much of a vehicle. You get that much of a vehicle.
And you also get all the luxury included with that as well.
And it's 110% Lexus, right? So you're getting 100% of the capability, durability of a 300 series Land Cruiser and, all the good and amazing things that come with being a Lexus owner, from just comfortability to amazing service and experience when you get to the dealership. It's kind of the perfect package for that.
Well, thank you for spending the time
with
us. Yeah. I really appreciate it. I learned quite a bit
about
this new one, and now I just want to take it to Colorado.
There we go. Well, maybe we can make that happen.
And
we'll see.
Test it again.
Do some long-term testing.
Yeah. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for filming. We appreciate you being here, too.
How are your arms? Are your arms okay?
Yeah.
Okay. She's tired.
Awesome.
Okay.
Man, Eli just really had all of the answers to all of our questions.
And I'm glad he also spoke about the golden ratio.
Mm-hmm.
That's a kind of a fancy name, right? But it has to do with the size of the vehicle, right?
It's huge.
Because I've been wondering about this. You know, the Chevy Tahoe is longer than the LX.
Mm-hmm.
The Yukons are longer.
Right.
The Cadillac Escalades.
Right.
Also have long wheelbases like Suburbans.
True.
And Eli had an answer for us.
It's like he knew what questions we were going to ask.
Something tells me he's been watching our videos.
You know,
actually.
I feel like I get that vibe as well.
Actually, he told us he was watching.
Yeah, he did. That's where I get the vibe.
Yeah. So I also have to confess. So you and I did a video prior before we actually interviewed Eli.
Yeah.
And I misspoke about the suspension. And Eli corrected me in this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
What I was thinking is that the LX also had the KDSS system, kinetic dynamic suspension system.
Right.
It does not.
It does not.
So I apologize once again that it does not have KDSS.
But that system looks very similar.
Yes.
And that was before we had the whole breakdown of everything.
Yeah, and that's my excuse because we looked underneath. We saw all the skid plates.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the hydraulic bladders in the system. And I was like, oh my gosh, it looks like KDSS.
There it is.
And I got it wrong.
Well, you know what?
But if our producer Cole can switch our screen as well, this is not the first time that we've driven a truck with a hydraulically based damper system, basically. But Lexus, so for example, right now we're showing a Ford Super Duty. This is the F550. This is a big, giant commercial truck.
It's a big boy.
With liquid spring suspension. And it uses the liquid hydraulic dampers for both the spring and the shock.
Okay.
So there is absolutely zero steel springs.
Okay.
So it's a slightly different system. We've been testing these big boy trucks for some time. And this is a local Colorado company. And I was actually... It was really cool that a major manufacturer like Lexus is doing something similar. Not the same.
But similar.
But similar.
You know, they've got a hydraulic system and not, air suspension.
Not
so
air
it
suspension.
It is different.
Yeah, exactly. But Lexus does use steel coil springs, which is kind of unique. And so I cannot wait for you guys to see our video because we went off-road in the course that Lexus prepared.
Yeah, yeah.
And also we got some street drive time.
Yeah, in a couple different models too. So it wasn't just the Overtrail, but we tried the F Sport and the Ultra Lux.
Yeah. This was, and the prices range between like $115,000 for these new hybrid systems, Lexus, all the way to $142,000. So they're getting pretty pricey.
Yeah, yeah, but they seemed worth it.
But when you want to monitor and maintain your vineyard,
yes.
This could be the vehicle for you.
Yes.
All right. So hopefully you enjoyed this video. It was kind of a deep dive. I think I'm hoping that this video has a long life.
Yeah.
Like 10 years from now, maybe people can come back to it, learn all the details about this LX.
Back when it just came out.
Yes. When we can afford it.
Yeah.
When you and I can go back and buy
it. When the commoners can afford
it. Yeah, when we all can afford it. So hopefully it will live thanks to Eli once again.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Yeah. So really, really appreciate it. And we'll see you next week on another podcast.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.